Hello and welcome to We're Watching What? I'm your host Dana, or the DHK as I'm known, and we watched three things this week. We started off with the new A24 film Love Lies Bleeding, a major spoiler alert for that one. We then watched the fourth episode of Shogun, again a major spoiler alert for that. And then finally we watched the new Lindsay Lohan Netflix rom-com Irish Wish. Although if you've seen any rom-com in your entire life, we're going to go ahead and guess that you can get the general gist of Irish Wish, but you know, spoiler warning just in case. And now without further ado, here's We're Watching What? I'm excited to finally talk about this, mostly just so I can talk about my new, not new even, but just my existing and furthered crush on Katie O'Brien, because obsessed, just absolutely obsessed. Want to be her and also maybe in love with her. That's it. That was it. That was my entire,
it's deep.
That's my entire criticism slash review of the movie, Katie O'Brien.
It's like, it's our worlds colliding because like, I think we've talked about, but I have a weird fascination slash attraction slash interest in Kristen Stewart. And it's just been there since the beginning. Well, not since Panic Room. I won't say that, but after.
I mean, she was a little young in that. Yeah. I'm glad.
It was the Messengers that really did it for me. But no, she was very young in Panic Room. But the Messengers was where I like developed this little crush. I remember I was at Century 24 in San Jose watching that. And it was like, oh, I love her. Anyway, I don't think she's like the most amazing actress that's ever lived or anything. But I just, there's something about her presence that I'm just very attracted to.
I mean, she's good in this. I just, yeah, you know, I thought Katie M. O'Brien is just, and I, because I remember she's in Andor, and I think she's great in it. She plays that kind of like double-crossy, spoilers, you know, agent for the Empire, First Order, whatever it is at that point. Mm-hmm. And then I really remember clocking her in Quantumania, because she plays the gold, like, Amazonian person. I just remember going like, who is that super fit human being? And then seeing this, I was just like, oh my God.
Well, I was going to say, correction, it's not Andor, it's The Mandalorian.
I'm sorry, Mandalorian, yes. But it looks like a character out of Andor, yeah.
100%, it's that same thing, yeah.
Yeah, so, thank you.
Yeah, no, she's great, and I was very fascinated by the bodybuilding of it all, I guess, like, because it's like as she starts out, she's buff, like she's much more fit and buff than I'll ever be. But like she throughout the film, as she starts taking steroids and things, it's like she starts to actually get more defined and crazy. And I'm like, oh, movie magic. But it was believable.
But then she also
some is movie magic, but some of it's like legit her.
No. I mean, but how they either how she looks now, then they undid some of it for the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like however they did that, because you see her very little clothing throughout, and she does definitely define, you know, over a course of the weeks. And so it's interesting how they did that. But yeah, I believe that she's like hulked out here. But but it's...
did the two of you know who I feel bad? I call her Meth Mouth, the third. But would the two of you like to guess what her connection to Hollywood slash like entertainment is?
Is she related to Amanda Siegfried, maybe?
No, but she does look like that. Her. Yeah.
Yeah, no, Amanda, I heard you're like Meth Mouth.
I mean, come on.
Like, I mean, it's true, though.
Yeah. Well,
I actually don't know how she's connected, but I love her as an actress because she plays Lavinia in Dickinson, and I'm obsessed with my favorite Dickinson, the sister, and she's so funny in that.
Oh, okay. So I had not seen her in anything before. And so I was just like, oh, who is Meth Mouth? She's the daughter of Mikhail Baryshnikov, the ballerino, like the most famous male ballet dancer and also star of Sex and the City. Yeah. And I was just like,
wow.
Huh. All right. She has talent. Like, I did not know, you know.
Sure. Yeah. And I didn't know that about her.
Yeah. But I loved this movie. It was a little gross for me at times. The goriness.
It was. I'll say that, like, I really liked like a lot of the like narrative choices. I thought the way they told the story was really cool. I liked, you know, all that stuff, but I'm going to sound so prissy, but like, I like things to be pretty, you know, like I like pretty things. And like, this movie was not about that in any way, shape or form. There was not a pretty thing to be had, you know? I mean, I'm attracted to Kristen Stewart and, you know, and everything, but I mean, that haircut.
Oh, it was
bad. The hair in this movie, man, was rough. I don't know who got it worse, you know, like Ed Harris.
Oh, I think Dave Franco had the worst hair out of all of them.
I mean, what's her face? Jenna Maloney? Like, I mean,
I feel like I have not seen in a while. And I was like, this is great casting. Like, the two of them as siblings is perfect. I was just like, oh, all right.
Yeah.
That's Not true. Apparently, she was in Rebel Moon, Part 1 of Tower of Fire.
She was the spider lady in Rebel Moon.
Like I said, I have not seen Jenna.
She's not very recognizable in that, though. Like, she's the spider lady, you know? It's like, okay, you're like, wait, is that Jenna?
I certainly did not have that reaction.
I did not clock that.
Yeah.
Well, good for her.
Yeah.
And I will say that this movie, like, I thought that the soundtrack was really good. I thought Clint Mansell just does such a job of making it. I mean, all of those, like, creepy, uncomfortable noises and stuff. Like, I thought, I don't know, just, it's hard for me to say I liked it because it was so uncomfortable the entire time I was watching it.
Yeah.
But I think it was well done, and I liked the story.
Yeah, I did when I saw it. I was like, is this going to, like, will Jackie leave? I didn't think you would actually leave because I think it was compelling enough not to. But I did have, like, that's up, like, now on my barometer of, like, judging a movie. It's like, how uncomfortable can it get before Jackie, like, will have to tap out? It's a courtesy. Take it as a compliment.
Yeah. I like it. I'm fine. I know who I am.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break and be right back. And we're back. Yeah, I don't know.
I loved it. I think, you know, there were certain things, a couple moments with script and stuff like that, that I was like, oh, I wish this was a little, like, some things that a little bit half-baked at times. But overall, I thought it was really successful and great. And I love the dark, the gritty, non-pretty gore of it all is, like, what I'm, like, actually drawn to about it. So we're very opposite in that way, where I was like,
yeah,
it's, you know, It has that element of, like, you know, the director Rose Glass, you know, she did St. Maude and she's done some other horror things, and it felt like a horror film, even though it wasn't a horror film.
Right.
And I loved that about it.
Yeah.
Ed Harris in some of those shots with the red and stuff, I mean, he was straight out of, like, The Devil's Rejects. Like, it was like a Rob Zombie. Like, what is going on? Like, I loved it.
Well,
I liked the, like, surreal feeling of it in a lot of places, right? Like, at first I thought they were just doing it for the drugs, and then I was like, okay. But then they used it in a couple other places, and I was like, oh, I like this. Like, I think this is such a cool narrative vibe. And, like, I want to appreciate it for being ugly in the sense that, like, it's so hard to do. You know what I mean? Like, no one does that. No one's like, I want to.
Yeah.
You know, and I like the idea of that, too. I just, as a human, I like.
It's not your, it's not the aesthetic that draws, like.
It's kind of a niche brand of indie thriller, because it is a thing that, like, it was really reminding me of Good Time a lot, which is Robert Pattinson. I love that movie.
Oh, I never watched
it. Certain things about that, certain things about it were reminding me, like, tonally of it. Not like, you know, it's not the story.
No. I get what you're saying. There is, like, there's, like, a
dark,
visual,
gritty, yeah.
Well, I was, like, reading something. My friend Shelby had seen it, and so she was talking about it, and she called it a neo western. And I was like, I kind of like that, because even though it's not, like, the same western themes of, like, you could tell it was dusty and gritty, and, like, in a similar way that I feel like,
western sort of. It's not, like, polished intentionally.
Yeah,
right.
It captures this kind of vibe that I think I credit a lot of a similar type of thing from Jonathan Glazer and Under the Skin. And that was, like, 2014, so 10 years ago at this point. But, like, I noticed that there were movies after that. That was more out there in a lot of different ways, of course. But movies after that in this indie realm that kind of started capturing that art house. But, like, but this is a real story grounded in reality. But here's this really art house way of looking at it a little bit here with the colors and the things. And that, I think, was some part of it. Like, I love the visual of it all.
Yeah.
Things like, I was really digging, like, the... I'm calling them Hulk out moments, but the moments where, like, she was like, shoot up, and then it would be like, you'd
no, it's absolutely Hulk out moments. Those
it was
were 100%.
So cool.
And the way the music was, you could, like, feel her blood moving faster.
Yes, yeah.
It was like very immersive in that way, where it was like, oh, wow, I really feel like
this. Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, I loved those, a lot of those elements of it. And then it's like toward the end where she shows up and she's like a giant and everything. The execution of that, I almost wanted it to lean more into that kind of thing throughout in a weird way, where that was clearly a fantasy way of looking at the scenario.
I was, like, desperate for her to be fake, and, like, I wanted the whole time her to be, like, a figment. Like, this wasn't real, and this is what she needed to, like, you know, stand up for herself and get her dad in trouble and, like, figure out her, like, gunman pass. And so for me, that's what I was, like, really hoping.
It's a little
for.
Fight clubby, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's a good.
But
it
romantic
is a good,
fight club versus like
it's a good plot device, though, because it's existed in other things. But it's like, that's always an interesting, like, little kind of like, oh, wow, it's all in your head, because then it's not like, oh, it was all fake. as much as it's like you created this and you thought mm-hmm. it was real.
Yeah.
You know,
it's the delusion of. And also, yeah. I mean, there's a world in which it could have been like, and ironically, this is kind of channeled through Meth Mouth character. I feel so bad. I don't know her character's name. I'm never going to learn it. But, you know, she has created this fantasy relationship with Kristen Stewart's character, mm-hmm. right? And so it's just yeah. like, is this Kristen Stewart projecting this fake fantasy story, this fictitious thing onto, you know, this other character? I thought there was a perfectly valid world in which she was using her, you know, and it
yeah,
was.
I did too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think.
It wasn't real love. Yeah. I think that by the end of the movie, I was convinced that they were trying to talk about love. And so it was about love and all that stuff. But I, for a while, was thinking that that was not going to be.
Yeah. But I liked that there was a world and a possibility in which, like, it was just, it bordered enough on, you know, is this a relationship of convenience and she's just like using her to have a home, et cetera? Or is this, you know, so yeah, cool. I just thought it was great. And like all the other, yeah.
It helped realify, if you will, like the character motivations and the moments and the things. And like, you know, like when the being upset that like, oh my God, you slept with my, like this guy who's trash, I hate him, like whatever. And you're kind of like, oh, you did it for a job and now you're doing this to have a place to stay. And then her coming back and killing Meth Mouth. And being like, clearly, I mean, she was, you know, told to do it, but also like she was so upset and pissed because she's like, you're already shacking up with this girl, but it made it feel like, well, yeah,
we
were questioning the motivations throughout and we're ready for a shoe to drop somewhere. And it didn't really, but it's
totally.
That's what also made me feel about Good Time a little bit was like at the end of the day, they're all about just like the lengths you'll go to for love, you know, in a different way.
Exactly.
And I was like, oh, yeah. But all these comparisons I make, I do think this was like wholly original in a lot of ways. And I thought that was great.
Well, I also just thought,
agreed. Like I think it does the best part of art where it like takes pieces of the good stuff and remixes it in a cool way. And like, I don't know, it made me excited to see. I like this kind of genre thing where you're doing your own thing with it and you're using film to an advantage in some way.
Yeah, you're like inspired by things, but it's you're still telling your own story. And I love that, you know, I hate to say, but like we don't get to see characters like this in a fully three-dimensional relationship where we are questioning whether or not they're in a relationship, but like that's all relationships, right? Like, and we will, this is a weird transition, but we will talk about this with Irish Wish. But I was like, I believe that these two characters like could meet in the real world, you know, and could be in this relationship and could fall in love, but like could be using each other in... for toxic reasons and for not toxic reasons. Also, I just was scrolling by something because I was looking something up for it, and somebody classified this as a comedy. And I'm like,
oh my God.
I mean, parts of it, like
parts, sure, theater, but
like my theater was laughing
like moments
a
meant
lot.
To be.
Yeah, absolutely. But overall, I'd be like
comedy,
romantic thriller, or like I mean,
gritty thriller.
Yeah, I've seen it described as erotic thriller, which is like its own genre, and I was like, it has enough elements of that. I love this movie.
With what you're saying, it's like, again, at the end of the day, I think it is well written and it is well made, but it's also, again, a testament to like these two ladies had chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
I believed that, like they did, you know, and I, you know, just even when at the start, where like you see her in the gym and Kristen Stewart just like watching her and stuff, it felt very like, yeah, that's exactly how this would happen, you know. It just, I don't know.
Were it not for the fact that I know that Katie M. O'Brien is married, like I would be like, you know, did these two have an onset romance, whatever, you know, it's just like, it's the type of thing where you feel the chemistry. Like it's so well cast.
Yeah.
But
it would have been so easily ruined if they just like were not having chemistry. Like this, who cares about the story at that point? That's what we always say, right? It, like, I mean, you care about it, but I'm just saying it hinges on that. Like if they don't have chemistry, it's not going to work the way you need it to.
Exactly.
So kudos to them and the writing and everyone. Yeah.
Yeah. I dig.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. It's messed up, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was. And hats off. I mean, they were both great and they carried it, but hats off. I mean, Ed Harris was great. Dave Franco was great. Jenna Malone. Mm-hmm. We already said these, but they were all great in what they were doing. So
it was. Meth Mouth was great.
Meth Mouth was great. You know, love her.
Yeah. No, but it takes a lot to, like, I think, have there not be a weak part of it.
Yeah.
You know, even like the tiny performance, like, you know, the creepy guys who like confront her in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. I was just like,
I believe
real.
Them. I was and they looked the part, sadly. It was just kind of like, it just felt this is a place that exists, you know?
Yeah.
Like it felt lived in. Like they did a good job of making things feel real.
Yeah. Even the surreal felt real enough that I was like, yes.
Yeah.
But anyway, everyone should go see Love Lies Bleeding, even though we've already talked about a bunch of spoilers involved.
Right.
Yeah. Moving on to Shogun, episode 4. I'm fresh off of this means war. I'm excited we got to war.
I know.
I needed us to move along a little bit.
Faster than I expected for some reason. Like, I thought that it would be more of a, like, end of season situation.
No, I definitely figured we're going to see more people on, like, horses and stabbing each other. Oh, my God. Sorry. This is skipping towards the end of the episode, but when they blew those people up with the cannons.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You want to talk about gory and guts. And
it was like, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, that was Napoleon stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, my understanding is this, I believe this season is meant to encapsulate the entire book.
I think so. I think this is
like
the
book is, even though, like, I don't remember if we talked about this, but even though it's part of a series, it's a singular story in the series.
Right, different countries.
So it's like, I think, like, this is going to tie it all up, which is happy and sad because I just want this to go forever. I love it.
Oh, I know.
And again, I love it, also, but I was... Anna Sawai.
Yeah.
Like, I hope I'm saying her name correctly, but, like, she carried this entire episode.
Yes. Well, I was glad we finally got to the conflict because, like, you know, the amount of double crossing, and I said this last episode, it's not that I'm confused at this point, like, who is who? I'm just like, somebody pick a side, you know? And I like that this episode is a forcing function of, like, this dumb kid was like, I have picked on behalf of everyone. This country is now going to war.
Like, yeah, now they have the excuse to be like, okay, well, you aggressed first, so now we're going to, you know, because they want that to happen, and it did. It's just like, okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you can say like, yeah, you have offended me. I blew you up with a cannon that was hidden in a field. Do we think all of his companions are dead, right? Like, they're not being held captive in Edo.
You should get
closure on that.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was like, I can't ask you, Matt, because you
don't ask me. I believe I know the answer.
Okay. Yeah, I will reframe this as I am convinced his companions are definitely dead. And, like, there is no world in which he gets to meet them again. You know, it's fine if they are not. I will also allow for that. But I was just like, the way they're just like, no. The terms have changed. I'm just like, come on, bro. Like, you're dumb, but not that dumb.
Yeah.
But he is, you know, captive.
Yeah. I also really like that the consort gets dimension in this, so we don't just have one female character.
So good. Yeah. I was so impressed. She just did the subtleties really well, you know, like
when she pulls that gun.
That was badass.
That was so good.
And she sure held it as if she knew what she was doing.
Exactly. So yeah.
She acted like it.
She's like, she just watched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just like, all right, girl. Like,
you think about it. I mean, in that role and that, it's like they spend a lot of time observing things. You know?
Oh, I mean, yeah.
And just like, that's all they do is not all they do, but I'm saying they're watching things because they're not allowed to be like part of the decision-making process half the time, but they're watching everything.
Yeah. Or, I mean, think about from a couple episodes ago, like the idea of the assassin who spent their entire, you know, it's like a one-time use assassin. Like, or it's just like, it's a female assassin who's like spent her, knows her craft and is just like waiting and waiting, you know? Don't underestimate the women. That's all I have to say.
No, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, they've done a lot of cool shit.
Also, I was not hallucinating. It was really dark on my screen. The two of them banged, right? It was not a courtesan. They were just saying
it's a courtesan. She was saying it's a courtesan.
Okay, just as like a...
They did.
Yeah, okay, okay.
And that's last week what I knew it was... It felt like... To me, it felt very clear where it was going, but also...
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And I know there's a this season on, but I didn't want to say that it was leading toward, you know, a potential romance. I was like, okay, you know what I mean? Like,
I figured from the very beginning.
But I almost said it last week, and I was like, that's when I was like, we'll wait till we...
Yeah.
Just in case it wasn't totally like inferred. Because you know when you know, it's hard.
Yeah, true. Yeah, it's hard to not see the sign. No, I definitely was like, they're going to bang. Also, the fact that it's just written by a white dude, I was like, of course he's going to have sex with the native women or whatever.
Of
you know,
course,
I was just like,
but the most beautiful, intelligent of them all is,
you
know,
the dark past who must be fixed.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's one of the story points that it's that way in the book as well, from what I remember, but I bumped on it then, where I was like, it's awfully convenient that her husband just was the one who had to stay back and die, and so that she
in an honorable way. Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
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 Okay, how convenient.
But again, I will say, I know Cosmo's not like your favorite, especially Dana. I will say, I do feel the chemistry between them, though. And that's good writing and good whatever. But I do like, when she walked up and he was like going to bathe in the spring and stuff.
Yeah.
Especially like him in the background and it focusing when she's not looking at him and her reactions and stuff. And I was like, okay, I like, I'm at this point, I'm like shipping them together. Like, I'm like, okay, I'm buying it.
I think she's carrying it and I am allowing for it, but no, it's not my favorite. Yeah. But again, for the similar reasons though, of just like bumping up against like the, you know, the context of the way this is written and the fact that it's essentially like an imperialist colonizer. I'm just like, it's a great story. I still don't like this aspect of it.
Yeah.
You know,
well, it's
I know it's the point of it, but like,
well, also it's sadly very kind of loosely, but based on that one guy.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, whatever his name was, but it's like, it's sadly largely based in some truth.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, but I know, but yeah.
Also, love a speech with fan work. Oh. It's just like, RuPaul, eat your heart out. This is how you give like an art. Yeah.
I mean, you know, the costumes and the sets and everything just remain to be impeccable. So
They remain.
Yes.
It's just everything.
When he pulled out that fan, I was just like, yes, all right. I will be now only having meetings this way.
Right. We'll see how they tackle larger like war set pieces. I have every faith they'll do it well, but I just mean like, we'll see how they tackle all that. And if they do that as well as I think they will, then this is just like a 10 out of 10 show for me.
It was interesting. Today was one of the first episodes where I felt like some of the budget constraints maybe. Not that it was a detractor from it, but when he does greet the troops, I was like, oh, I'm glad that these are like generally practical troops, but there's only a few of them, right? It's fine. Like, keep it to, I would rather you do that and like frame in versus like a bunch of, you know, CG hats or like whatever it is. But I was just like, oh, that's fine. Save it on for this episode because we don't need it, you know?
Yeah.
But some of the vistas where they're looking at, I was like, oh, this is definitely Canada, not Japan. That's fine.
Right. Yeah. I saw some of that too. I was like, okay, Vancouver. Like,
okay.
Wherever they are.
Yeah, but it was like, at least it's a real vista. You know? Yeah. I'm starting to get to the point where I'm like, you know what?
I know, right? The bar is so low at this point.
I will take the wrong city for $300.
Just do not give me this IMAX backdrop. I need a break from this.
Bullshit in the background. Like, no.
Unless anyone has any major points, I am going to actually use this as our transition to Irish Wish, because
I literally was going
to
say that too.
Sweeping vistas / ad for the country, probably. At least, you know, they at least shot like 3 days there, you know, is Lindsay Lohan's return to the Netflix rom-com Irish Wish. Did you two feel blessed by the luck of the Irish having watched this?
Obviously.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
You know. It gave me absolutely everything.
Blessings abound.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought she was fine. I thought she was good in it.
Yeah,
I mean, Lindsay Lohan.
What was written?
I've always thought she was a good comedian. Like,
Well, her physical comedy could use work. The like,
yeah, she's got
bicycle,
she's got a good,
the,
like, she's good at the quips and like giving like, you know, like I do think like when I go back to like Freaky Friday and stuff, I do genuinely laugh at her in that movie. You know, like it's so it's like I. Yeah. She's got that going. It's cute. Yeah. I mean, it's a bit dated now, of course, but it's worth a gander if you're.
I'll just wait for the remake.
It's going to be a sequel, I think. But
isn't she going to be the mom or no?
Well, yeah, because like Jamie Lee's coming back and she's back, but now it's like there's grandkids involved and there's
never mind. I won't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not something I'm excited for. I'll say that. Okay. But I will be there. I'll be seated for it.
Of course, because like, you know? Like with this film, we had to. Yeah. It was one must.
Well, and to be fair, their remake of Freaky Friday is one that makes it on a rotation for me. Like sometimes where I'm
that
just
doesn't
like,
surprise.
Yeah,
me.
I watch it. Yeah, I really like it. I actually do watch it. Like, I mean,
so I will watch a sequel. But like, you know, I would. I would watch Clueless too, you know, like if they were making that big budget, and I would be really upset about it.
Oh, no. Yeah. I was like, excuse me. I thought you were saying they made Clueless. I was like, no.
But I just mean like that's just the person I am. Like it's one of those. But yeah, anyway, I do think she's got some good comedic chops here and there. But I thought this was pretty, you know, pretty awful, but which obviously is, I guess, to be expected. But I was hoping to enjoy the awfulness more than I did. I was kind of just like, full disclosure, part of it was like the best friend's weddingness of it all. That's one of my like favorite movies.
Yeah.
And so I'm like watching, just kind of being like, obviously it wasn't completely that, but I'm like, oh, you could just never. And I know they know that, but I was just kind of not enjoying it as much as I wanted.
I actually like appreciated that she gets the wish and then the friend was still in love with him.
Although, what a shitty friend.
Right. Yeah. It turns out not shitty because she made this stupid wish that didn't make any sense. But the friend didn't know that.
Exactly.
So, like, ooh, yeah.
That was a takeaway for me.
Here's what I hated about that, though. I hated that. I agree with you, but also I hated the element of this, what's her face, the saint lady. In, like, yeah. Like, I make this wish. And then she's like, okay, cool, I'll give you the wish. But she did everything to make it go badly. Like, she nearly killed her mother. And it's this thing where I'm like,
it's like, why would you do that?
You did everything to go badly to say this is the wrong choice. But that's not me naturally learning this is the wrong choice. You're ruining everything.
Or is she just expediting, like, helping?
Maybe, but like, is that all? That's all. She was literally meddling and making things happen. Like, she nearly put her mother in a coma.
Yeah, like, I was very confused by the, like...
She flew across that airport.
I literally thought... I did think that the aggressiveness in which she tried to keep the mother from getting to Scotland was very intense.
I think you have to look at this with the same level of logic that you apply to... I think it's Princess Switch or whichever... You know, I think it's Princess Switch, where like Santa's always showing up and like winking a wish. Like, these two exist in the same universe.
Oh, so,
like,
sure.
And you don't bump up against Santa Claus doing it just because you don't know this weird saint lady doesn't mean that she's
I think that's part of my weird problem is that I was like, I didn't expect this to be something that I thought was great. But
yeah,
you have the whole kind of like, here's the life you're wishing for. And here's why maybe it, you know, you should just let things happen in their way as like 13 going on 30 or.
Yeah.
Even like I feel pretty with Amy Schumer, like that kind of crap. Like it's they have to learn on their own. And this was just like you just might have as well have just been Christmas Carol, where they're just showing you here's how it could be.
Yeah.
So don't do it.
I did not give this as much thought as you did.
I wasn't needing it to be like something.
No, I get it.
Well, I was
actually disappointed by Ayesha Curry. I didn't expect her to be like great or anything, but I thought she was pretty abysmal.
Okay, so I didn't realize or remember it was Ayesha Curry, and I did not recognize her for some reason. And so, not knowing who it was, I didn't have a problem with her. And then finding out it was Ayesha Curry, I was like, oh, okay. But I think if I had known it was her going in, I would have been like, this is so bad. Yeah, so I didn't know it was her going in, but I think that helped her. The other thing is, to the point about like best friend's wedding, and then to what Jackie was saying earlier about how Love Lies Bleeding like does a good job of remixing and like bringing its own spin. This is the opposite success effect, where they're just like, we will take this from this movie and this from this movie and this from this movie and this from this movie. It'll be fine, right?
And make it just extremely not compelling. That's the thing. Yeah. It was just like, I don't know. Like, even it by the like, time it was like, by the time it was all coming to a close, it was like, okay, now the photographer guy and her are in love.
I was
ready for it to be over, but at the same time, I was like, this happened so fast. Like, even in the movie, it didn't even feel like the conflict really stayed around that long.
No.
It was very strange.
I just felt like we didn't actually like get enough. We got all this like lead up about the author and her being in love with him and all this stuff, that we didn't get enough time of them, her and London Boy, actually falling for each other.
Yeah.
Like, it was literally just like two scenes. And then I thought they were supposed to take
photos. And then it was like, oh, he can't go anymore, so we're just going to go. And
they
it
were
was like,
the photos, I had the
scouting location.
No. They were location scouting to take the photos. But yes, I heard the same things you did. And I was like,
yeah,
why doesn't he just go to take the photos?
And then I think the other problem it had too, because they were trying to make the author guy, like the guy that she was in love with, kind of like what's his face, like Rufus in The Holiday, right? Where he's like taking advantage of Kate Winslet and he'll never be with her and all this, whatever, right?
Uh-huh.
And they tried to kind of make it that way without making him like a full-on villain, because we still needed to have a supportive marriage with the friend.
Yeah.
Right? So it also danced in that way of like, oh, like this is not like, yeah, he was very self-centered and he was taking advantage of the fact that like she was helping him more than she was credited for.
Yeah.
And that awful and I don't like that. But then they wanted to salvage him enough to be like, but he's, you know, he's still an okay guy. So
yeah,
it's just
okay for your friend. Yeah.
It couldn't really pick a, like, she's like, oh, well, she's less picky about it. It's like, it couldn't, like,
yeah,
pick a full lane of where it wanted to commit to, like, who do you want me to be rooting for here in any of this?
Well, you know, I also like that he's Welsh. He's not Irish. Like, they couldn't get an Irish actor.
Well,
Adambry wasn't available. No.
Yeah, like Paul Mescal said no, and then it was like, he did, and I'm glad he did. But
yeah.
I also like, and this is on the shallow way, but I also just didn't think either of the guys were terribly attractive. And so
I don't disagree. I think,
because I thought Lindsay looked good, actually.
Lindsay looked great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was looked healthy.
I've seen Ed Spielers be attractive before.
Okay. Is he the British guy? Or
he's the photographer. Okay. And I was like, how do I do? I knew I knew him. And I know, like, forever he will be Aragorn in my brain, this poor kid. But then I forgot that he's on Picard as, like, spoilers. Picard's, like, biological. Like, I think he's his kid. But he's like, oh, I can't remember if it's his. Anyway, I've already forgotten the season of Picard. So I was just like, who the fuck did they get to play Picard's kid? And I was just like, oh, okay, this is fine. Point being, okay amounts of chemistry.
Yeah, it wasn't the worst.
If they were given an actual film to have as a, like, they had enough chemistry to where I could believe it.
Yeah.
But it,
like,
was just too
muddy
down.
Like, if there had been enough scenes with them together, I think we really could have been, like, into them ending up together.
What are our working theories on why Jane Seymour could not be bothered to do, like, a single day on set with another person? And why Jane Seymour in that case, right? Yeah. Like, why were they like, we need one actress who is of a, you know, a certain age that, like, has a brings in a different demographic.
Yeah.
We won't make her do a single day on set with any other human beings in this cast. Like, who do you think made that call? And
honestly,
how do I thank them?
It was, and all of her parts were so, like, the first time we come across her and she's calling Lindsay.
Yeah.
At an inopportune time for Lindsay, which she didn't know, but she's calling her while she's also simultaneously struggling to place an order that Lindsay won't be able to help with. And it was a thing where I'm like, who just picks up a phone and says, oh, my keyboard's being a pain in the ass and I can't place this order, but let's just call and see how my daughter's doing. Like, it's just, it was so weird. I just was like, who wrote this?
Well, and, like, especially since she knew she was at a special event or something. You know what I mean? Like, she knew.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
She looked like in the middle of the day when she was in her office, but.
Yeah.
I mean,
she's
a book.
At nighttime going to an event.
Exactly.
She's like, you're going to say it? You're going to tell him tonight? And that's the thing is,
when
it went to the future or when it went to the alternate reality,
yeah,
I was like, but now you're just, I guess, are you trying to imply that Lindsay's such a pushover that, like, she would have allowed all this to get to this point? Because I was like, she's allowing, like, the dress replacement. She's allowing this, like, wedding that she doesn't want in that way. I guess you're supposed to imply that, like, she would have just said yes to everything.
Yeah, I think that's
him.
But
it was just annoying that it was the exact same wedding and everything that he was about to have with the other girl. So it was like, you're just really showing this guy is horrible then. Like, he's strong arming this other girl, or she just doesn't care. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, it's just, you're not showing me that he's any better for the friend, like, at all. So it's just, I don't
know.
Although, again, the friend, as much as I was excited that there was an Asian person in this, the friend was shitty. The friend sucked.
She was not a good friend.
Yeah.
And the weird meet cute where he, like, puts her eyelash on. Like, I was like, oh, I don't know. Don't
touch my eyeball.
Like, I just don't let strangers do that, even if they're hot. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. What a classic. I still think Lindsay was.
The wedding, they were too cheap to get more than, like, 10 people. So the aisle on each side was, like, two down, and then they were trying to, or, like, even the pub sequences where they didn't want, there was, like, four people in the shot and they were trying to pretend like it was a full pub.
Rehearsal dinner, no joke, at the rehearsal dinner, I literally thought to myself, I was like, this feels as if it was filmed during, like, the height of COVID, like, during shutdown, because you would have a crew of 10 and you'd be like, well,
yeah, exactly.
Those would be the lighting people dancing.
This is
there.
What we got, guys.
Well, and it did really feel that way. It felt very budget. And honestly, for all the critiques I'm giving it, I would have probably loved this if it was a holiday film.
Mm,
I know that she this director like did.
Yeah, she's a Hallmark, you know, Lifetime rotation.
Falling for Christmas, and she did, yeah. Like, you know, so it's like all that. So it's like, that's her wheelhouse and everything. And I'm like, but it's weird. You add the holiday twist to it. And I'm like, oh, I love it. Even though, I mean, we could really talk critically about it. But I'm like, I love it. But for some reason, it's just less interesting to me when it's not that way.
Yeah.
It is a holiday movie, I guess, in the way it's kind of St. Patrick's Day.
It's not St. Patrick's Day.
You hate this saint lady. That's your problem.
Yeah, I really hated her. Yeah, I did not. I was not a fan.
St. Bridget. You just have a beef with St. Bridget.
Yeah, St. Bridget. And I would go back. And I can, it was honestly like
a dumb plot point too. I mean, it was just like, and it wasn't funny because it made her do all that, like, she fell into the car and she did, you know, all the weird behavior.
Oh, I thought it was like, I thought it was hilarious because, like, credit to whoever they cast, she was psychotic. Like, she's just in her own movie. And I was like, I love this. Yeah. I don't know what's happening, but I like this lady. When she's, like, the stained glass window, I was like, we've really committed to this bit.
I felt like I know that actress. I can't remember.
She's in things. Yeah. Her name is Dawn Bradfield.
Okay.
I looked this up while we were. Yeah, I did not know this off the top of my head.
Right.
That would have been very upsetting. She was in Mr. Malcolm's List, which I think we all watched. I think
we did.
She's in Vikings Valhalla one episode. Her top credit is King Arthur from the 2004 version. Vanora.
Oh, that's why I know her then, because I love King Arthur.
Yeah, because I've seen that.
I love that dumb movie.
I did like that movie for.
Yeah, it's so good.
I love Clive Owen and Yon Gruffudd.
I love the casting in that movie across the board.
Yeah. Yes, the other, I had a poster of it in my room for a long time. Remember when like theaters would give out those like small one sheet poster? Yeah. The other casting I want to talk about for a moment that I did not clock was I was like, yeah, because we get the brother, the Irish brother. And then, like, a friend of his shows up for some reason. And I was like, what is this character? One of the, like, eight people in the entire cast. I didn't realize that's also a Lohan.
I didn't know that either. Yeah,
that's Dakota Lohan, apparently.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I love this. It was a family affair. Because I know her and the Currys are really close.
A solid for her brother. I was like, oh. I mean, this is still terrible. But I appreciate it. It contextualizes it for me, at least. That I'm like, okay. This is why this is terrible. Nepotism.
I was going to say, what's funny is that, like, I have met him and did not even recognize him in there, which is
Funny. Why have you met him?
I did Lohan's Beach Club.
Right. Show. I'm so envious.
I almost went to Mykonos for it. But
yeah, that would have been so cool.
I was ready to go. My bags are packed. But yeah, just repeating it.
Yeah. Wow. We might have to rewatch King Arthur because I'm looking at the cast again.
Oh, Dana, I rewatch King Arthur regularly, so you name
it. I forgot Mads Mikkelsen is in it, Joel Edgerton, Hugh Dancy, Ray Winstone, Stellan, and Ray Stevenson, Stellan Skarsgård.
It's a cast.
Oh my God, I'm going to rewatch King Arthur tonight, aren't I?
Oh, good for you.
Thank you. I forgot Antoine Fuqua directed it. Anyway, we've gone on.
I still like that sequence on the ice where they break the ice and all that. I mean, there are moments in it that are decent. Like, it's actually not all bad.
I'll be the judge of that. When I rewatch
effects don't exactly hold, but you know, it's 2004. It was a time.
Yeah. I'm going to have to figure out how to watch it. Anyway, back to Irish Wish, the tax break film of a lifetime that at least bothered to go to Ireland for a few days.
It did.
I had a good time.
Ireland is welcoming it. Like, it's like, because again, I think we brought up when we were talking about watching this, like last week, we brought up, what is it called again?
What?
Leap Year. And similarly, Leap Year with Matthew Good and what's her face? Amy Adams is like 100% just a commercial for the hills of Ireland.
Oh yeah,
and the cliffside just kind of like, come to Ireland, and it worked. I was like, I would like to go.
Me too. So, I was like, I would like to stand on the cliff some more. into this.
When she says her favorite author is James Joyce, I almost fell out of my chair. My friend who is from the Bay Area used to live in Ireland, and I've made her watch some of these terrible, you know, like the holiday movies. And I texted her immediately. I was like, I need you to watch this immediately. Because she has read Ulysses a considerable amount and like legitimately likes it. And I was just like, I need you to watch this movie, and I need you to see, like, I need you to react to Lindsay Lohan saying that James Joyce is her favorite author. Would you recommend this movie?
Oh, I mean, if you want to have a good time. Yeah. I mean, like, if you like this kind of cheesy rom-com, then yes.
I have been trying to convince my friend to watch it since it came out. Yeah, a different friend. I finally got her to cave.
Yeah, I have some people in my life who like enjoy like things like The Kissing Booth and stuff as like a real movie.
So, I see.
You know, like,
yeah,
not to necessarily shade The Kissing Booth for no reason, but I just mean like where it's like, oh yeah, I like genuinely like that movie. So it's like, I think that this has an interesting audience.
In I'm serious sure way. It does.
I'm sure someone, yeah.
And that someone, me. No.
Yeah. And it's Dana.
It's me. Her.
Yes. We met her.
Yeah. We've been talking to her about movies for the last however many longer, years.
But we do.
Yeah.
But
we finally, yeah. This is the intervention. This is the intervention episode. Yeah.
No, if you stuck with me after watching like 60 holiday movies last year.
Oh, God. Yeah. Thank you. All right. Well, we're watching what? What else have we been up to?
I was like, what?
I'm on to Winter House from Summer House.
Damn. Okay.
Oh, I watched Manhunt, the first two episodes of that.
I know I brought it up. I couldn't do it. I watched half of one. I was like, nope.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it, actually. Okay. I'm not like, I don't think it's like the greatest thing that's ever existed, but I'm enjoying, I don't know if it's shamefully or just like it's our education system or whatever, but I know shockingly little about the amount of event that is surrounding the assassination of Lincoln. Like, I know the Civil War. I know John Wilkes Booth of it all.
Yeah.
But that there were like other assassinations that happened and were planned and all these things that were surrounding it, that it wasn't just about that.
Mm-hmm.
And, or about Lincoln of it all. Like, he was a target, of course, but it was about others as well. And that it was like this race to catch this man, because if they didn't, the Civil War was going to start back up. Like, it was like, because of where he was going. It's interesting. I was like, okay, I don't know about, I know it's fictionalized too, but I just mean like I didn't know a lot about it. So I'm like actually very interested. I like how it kind of, it feels as like it's being told in the way of like a modern,
you know,
crime thriller. And even though it's back then. So kind of similarly to Shogun, I was going to say, I almost said it there, but I like it here. I'm really finding it refreshing when you can go watch something in like a modern day quality where like, the phones are not a thing. You can't
turn on the TV
and watch the news. There's no radio. And it's like, you know, John Wilkes Booth is on the run and comes across this guy he's trying to get by after he kills Lincoln, whatever. And the guy doesn't even know to like that, what anything that's happened, because it's just like, how would he know?
Yeah. There's no,
no, you know, whatever. And so I thought that was
really lots of places to hide.
Yeah. The story is so much easier when you don't have to.
Which almost, you know? I suppose, gives credit to them for finding him. You know,
yeah,
I assume
really
they
does.
Found
That's
him.
The thing. Yeah, yeah. Well, and because I have a friend who he wants to get into kind of like writing horror stuff. And we had this talk, and he always just quotes me from it. But I was like, yeah, you always have to address the phone. You have to address the phone issue, because we live in a world where, like, if you're watching a modern day horror film and they're stranded somewhere, you're like, well, are they checking their cell phones? Like, you have to
and
have
all you have to do is
like,
be like, no signal.
Yeah, the stupid like, oh, my phone died, or oh, it's broken, or no signal, whatever. But you have to address it. If you don't, the audience is like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You live in that world.
It's a very good point.
Anyway, that's the main thing I watched. I can't think of it, anything else.
I've got two. One I forgot to mention last week, and I haven't picked it up since. I don't think I'd recommend it necessarily, but it's Guy Ritchie's, it's a series from him called The Gentlemen, and I think it's, I haven't finished it yet, so it could be either retelling or picking up and connecting to, because he made a movie in 2019 called The Gentlemen, and it's, I think, very similar, and I think it operates in the same world. I remember being deeply offended by the film, because it has just, Henry Golding's in it, and just like the way they treat the Asian characters, I was like, I hate this movie. Like, I hate it.
Yeah, I did not like that movie.
And I remember hating the ending of it, because it was such a cop-out. I am not having the same issue as much with the series, in part because they basically don't have people of color. They do have Giancarlo Esposito, but he's not like, he's a character with status. And the other thing that has kept me watching at least a few episodes of this is I also don't generally like the way Guy Ritchie writes female characters, but there is a female gangster with like agency in this that I am like, okay, it's Kaya Scodelario from Skins, and she's doing like a very good job in it. So I was like, okay, you know, we've addressed some of the issues I had with the original version, but you know, it's not great, but it's not as terrible as I was expecting it to be.
Okay.
Not a glowing endorsement, but
no, no. I was loosely interested in that one. I like Theo James, and
yeah, he's good in it.
Yeah, and I actually I like Kaya, even though like she hasn't been in a ton of like amazing stuff. She was in a holiday film.
Well, she was in. I can't remember if I had the two of you watch this, but do we remember The King's Daughter?
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's her. Yeah. She was in that. Yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah,
we did. I think we all three watched it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. The other thing I watched, which the two of you might be more interested in, is called Apples Never Fall. And it is from, it's on Peacock, and it came out like 2 days ago. It's based on one of the ladies who wrote Big Little Lies, her stories.
Mm.
So it's a very WASPy family. Dark things happen. It is truly one of the whitest shows I've ever seen. They play, like, it's a family who plays tennis. But Annette Bening is in it.
Yes, Sam Neill. Sam Neill.
I love Sam Neill so much.
Same. And I forgot. I was like, I wanted to watch this. So thank you for the reminder.
Yeah, it also has Jake Lacy and Alison Brie, who are like amongst the bigger names in it, and then a couple other folks who I'm not as familiar with. But yeah, I think if you like Big Little Lies and the other one, The Nine Perfect Strangers, like this scratches that itch. It's not, I don't think it's as good as some of the HBO ones, but it's like fine. Respect this lady, Leanne Moriarty, for like spreading her shows around different networks. So she's like, Big Little Lies can go to HBO Max, and Nine Perfect Strangers can go to Hulu. You can have this one.
Take the biggest check.
Honestly, she's got a good agent. Is what that means. You know, someone's making sure she
keeps bidding it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not, I don't think, I didn't watch the other, I watched like a few of Nine Perfect Strangers and I watched a few of Big Little Lies. I don't think it's in that tier, but it's, you know, I want to know what happens. So that's, I'll give it that. Yeah. And it's like seven or eight episodes.
I very much like Big Little Lies, but Nine Perfect Strangers, I watched it all, but I wasn't like,
I think we all watched like one or two. Yeah.
Yeah, I ended up finishing it, but
I was like, how did it end? And I don't even remember. So I'm guessing I didn't finish. I tapped out
after like one.
I read
two.
The book.
Mm.
But I didn't even finish the book. So that says something.
Right.
But I liked Big Little Lies and I liked the Big Little Lies book as well. So I don't know.
I also get the sense that this will resolve itself within the first season, which is, I don't think it has enough material to like go past that, which is fine. I'm fine with Big Little Lies,
and then they decided to make a sequel season, which they shouldn't have. But we'll see.
I don't think Peacock is going to do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, Annette Bening is Annette Bening. And...
Yeah, and Sam Neill.
And Sam Neill. I know. Isn't he not well? I thought he was like...
Is he not? Oh, no.
I thought he had, like, cancer?
Oh, no. I hope not. I haven't heard that.
Blood cancer. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. But... Oh, good. Remission from lymphoma. Okay.
Oh, good. Okay.
But still, he looked great.
Okay, yeah.
And I remember thinking, I was like, oh, good. He looks healthy. I don't know when they filmed it exactly, but I was like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's what I watched. Well, thank you both.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, as per usual, to Jackie and Matt. And that is actually it for this episode. If you liked it, we would love it if you could leave us a 5-star rating, a review, or even consider subscribing.